Where were you on August 21st at 4 p.m.?
We were at home, actually. We were just, we have a family of four, and my son and I were playing in the basement, and my daughter was upstairs in our living room. My husband was just taking steaks out, put on the barbecue, and the power had went out, and my son started to cry in frustration.
Did it look stormy out? Did you have any idea?
It had been storming. Well, not even storming. It had been raining on and off all day. At that time, again, we were in the basement. I wasn't even paying attention, but my husband had checked the radar on the computer around 3:30 because he wasn't going to barbecue if it was going to be pouring rain. And the radar was clear at 3:30.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he was up taking the steaks out, getting them ready to barbecue, and it had started to rain. He closed the windows, and the windows blew back open, and he closed them again. And when he looked out, all of a sudden it was really dark, and it had started hailing, and the wind had really picked up, and he said it was getting black. And our daughter, who was six, in the other room, started to panic, so he went and grabbed her, and he came down into the basement, and by the time he did, I was standing there still with my son, and it was that freight train sound in our basement, and we didn't even make it out of the stairwell. We just stayed in the stairwell. Both of our kids were screaming between us, and I looked out the basement window, across the basement out the window, and it was just white. Like, it looked like a snow squall. I couldn't see a thing out that window. And it was so loud, so very, very loud, and we could hear things breaking and snapping and cracking above us. But it was so quick. Like, we didn't even make it out of the stairwell, and then it was over. My husband's a fireman, so his pager went off, and I got angry about that. And so he went up the stairs. I just assumed a car accident had happened or a power line had come down or something, and that's why he had to go. So he went to run outside, and then he yelled at me to stay in the basement, to not come up, and I didn't understand. So, of course, I didn't listen, and I went up and looked around the stairs from our basement onto our main floor, and I looked straight at my storm door. The front door to our house, our storm door, was laying right at my feet, and that's a good 20 feet in.
Wow. What were you thinking when you heard this train-like sound when you were in the basement?
It was so fast, you didn't even really have time to process it. Like, I just, honestly, at the time, I thought it was just a really bad thunderstorm. And then it was so quick, like, I didn't even think it could be anything else because it happened so fast. And I was angry that it had scared my kids, and I was angry that it made my husband's pager go off. And then when I stepped up and I saw the front door, I grabbed my kids and we walked out onto my front porch just to see what was going on, and the front porch was gone. Like, the roof above us on our front porch was literally gone, and I didn't see it anywhere. And our front window where our daughter had just been sitting playing 5 minutes ago was smashed. Our screen door was outside, storm door was back through the house. There was leaves and dirt and stones and just all kinds of debris in our front hallway. And it was still raining at that point. And just looking around, there was a tree on our truck, so my husband couldn't even get to the fire hall. He was running around in circles trying to figure out what to do. There were, like, the phone lines and the hydro lines were down on our front yard. And, like, it was just absolute chaos.
So this all happened altogether, what, 10 minutes between the beginning and the end of you seeing?
No, they said 12 seconds.
12 seconds?
They've said it was 12 seconds from start to finish.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's incomprehensible that that's...
So then what did you do? What did you realize at that point when you saw...
My standing out on the front porch, I was holding my son in my arms, and my daughter was beside me. And you could hear car alarms going off, and just all the trees were down and all the debris everywhere. My son started screaming. He was crying because he was scared. I think I was in shock. I think my daughter was in shock, and then my son's screaming kind of snapped us back.
How old
to reality.
Are your kids?
My daughter was six. She just had a birthday. She's seven now. And my son's 3.5.
Okay.
So he started screaming, so I stepped back into our house to try to calm him down, and then the neighbors had heard him, So they came running over to see if he was hurt. And I said that he wasn't hurt. He was fine. Everyone was fine. My husband came back up to see what was going on, and he was panicked because he couldn't get anywhere to go to the fire hall. And one of our neighbors said, you know, go take my car. My car is fine. Go take it. So he did. And then he was gone. The people that live right beside us, their house, their roof was damaged, but their house was okay. And they said, bring the kids to our basement. They'll be fine in our basement.
Okay.
So that's what we did. We ran across the yard. It was still raining down into the basement, down into their basement. I put my kids in their basement, and I said I was going to go get them some dry clothes because they were soaked. And I left them there with my neighbors. I walked out onto the street, and by then the fire department was at our corner and cops were starting to come and things were starting to happen. And I looked up the street and I couldn't even see up the street. There were trees blocking our street. There were, you know, cars and glass, and just everything was in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. And all the wires were down and everything was just everywhere, and I was just absolutely stunned. The TD Bank is right there.
How close do you live to the downtown center?
Well, there's our house, another house, and then the TD Bank.
You're right there.
We were right there. The church that has been on the news so much was right across from the TD Bank. So, yeah, we were one of the streets that it went right down. They said it went down St. Patrick Street and then through the square kind of and then up Park Street. And that's where we
picky,
were.
Picky tornado.
It was bizarre, really, the path that it took. Half of my husband's fire department lives on the other side of town that wasn't touched, and they had no idea when they were responding to the hall what the problem was.
Yeah.
Nobody had any idea
or
until
how
they
big
got
it was.
Exactly what had happened.
So largely, it's mostly the trees that caused a lot of the problems, right?
Initially, because the roads were impassable, you couldn't get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Later, when I was trying to get my kids out of the area, that was the problem. You could not get through the streets because you certainly couldn't drive, and you could barely walk down the streets because there were tree branches and hydro lines and just everything absolutely blocking the streets. And that was pretty much all over town, the trees.
So what were you thinking?
What was I thinking?
Yeah, where do you go next? What do you do next?
For the first bit, I just wanted to call my mom to tell her to come and get my kids. She doesn't live in town, and I knew my kids couldn't stay.
Mm-hmm.
So it took a long time to get a hold of her because none of our cell phones were working. So I borrowed somebody's phone. I don't even remember who it was. I saw them talking on it. So I ran up and I asked to borrow it because I knew that it was obviously working. And I had to call her, and she answered, and I had to tell her, because she had no idea. I had to tell her, you know, a tornado's come through our town.
Mm.
Our house is destroyed. I need your help.
Mm.
So I was really teary when I finally got a hold of her, and she could hear the sirens and everything in the background. So it took her about an hour to get to us from where she was. And in the meantime, my kids were still in my neighbor's basement, away from everything, but eventually I had to go get them. And then I realized I didn't have anything to send with them. I went back into the house to just pack a bag for them, really. And I knew I had to get them car seats because my mom didn't have car seats for them, and they were going to be driving almost an hour. And our cars were destroyed. Like, there was nothing. There was no glass left in our vehicles. Everything was shattered. There was a tree on our truck. My van was, you know, wedged into our garage, and I didn't know if I should use the car seats or not, but I could. My son's only 3 and a half, and I didn't want him driving an hour without a car seat, so I grabbed these car seats, and I had this little Barbie suitcase full of clothes for the kids. And when my mom got to Goderich, she could only get as far as the Saltford Bridge, which is on the edge of town. Then it was blocked. The town was blocked. Nobody could get in. So the police blocking the bridge said, you can't drive up there. So she walked, which is from where she was to probably where we finally met her. I'm not sure, but it's at least 5 kilometers, I would say.
5 kilometers. So you just started walking towards each other.
My mom... We were evacuated from our street because of the gas leaks.
Right. How much of your house was damaged? Was the top
coming
gone?
Down?
And how much was left standing when you looked at it?
Our house isn't down yet. It's been condemned. And it is still standing. The roof has separated from the walls. None of the floor joists are holding the house together anymore. Each wall has moved outward. It could come down on its own anytime.
Mm.
It's still standing right now. It took until Wednesday to be condemned. But initially, like, the front porch was blown off, the doors were blown off. When I went up into my bedroom at one point, I could see the sky because the east wall had separated.
It's kind of amazing to think that how much damage to your house there was, and yet you still had a bedroom to get into.
Well, this is it, because the house two doors down from me, I went to check on her because I didn't see her out in the street anywhere. So once my kids were in the basement of my neighbor's house, I ran two doors down just to check on her to see if she was in the house. And there was another guy there trying to do the same thing. And he knocked her door down because no one was answering. He checked downstairs and I ran upstairs. And as I'm running upstairs, there's no roof. There's no walls. Like, her house there's nothing left of it. Her house was the worst one on our street, and it's just two doors down from mine.
I'm amazed people weren't actually picked up by this tornado.
Exactly. There were people driving down the street during the storm. There's lots of YouTube videos of people taping it from their cars. And I just can't believe that. It took out a church. It took out our salt mine. It took out our downtown core. And there's people taping it in their cars.
Because they have nothing else to do and nowhere to go.
That's right. But the fact that it didn't pick up their cars. They picked up two trailers right at our corner. There was two camping trailers flipped up on their sides, on either side of the street, up against hydro poles, like end to end, that were, as far as I understand, attached to cars at the time.
Amazing.
And they came loose and flipped up on their sides up against hydro poles.
Makes you wonder what is hurricane or tornado proof and what isn't, just by what happened, what you described.
Absolutely.
So what happens for you now?
At this point, it's been 4 weeks. It's 4 weeks today, an hour from now, that this all took place. Our house has been condemned. It will come down. We have a contractor who will be in charge of the demolition and the rebuilding. That will take place likely in October, late October, I believe. We have had to replace both of our vehicles, so we've done that. Now we're in a rental home. Just kind of now we're in the waiting period, just waiting for our house to start to be rebuilt.
Who helped you out in this situation?
Who didn't help me out in this situation? We were very blessed. With my husband being a fireman, you know, we're part of that family, and everyone looks after each other, and they certainly did. And then none of my family lives in town here. So nobody could help me other than my mom coming to get the kids that first day. So my friends stepped up. They really did. I can't say enough about what my friends did, and even strangers that I didn't know did for us during that week. I have three girlfriends that really kind of took charge of my life and took charge of packing up my house and figuring out what I needed and what I didn't need.
Wow.
And my brother. My brother lives in another town altogether, but he's a fireman as well in that town. And he had heard what was going on his fire scanner at home. He's younger than me. He's 5 years younger than me. He came up as a fireman to help for the first day. So he was with my husband for most of the time. And then he didn't leave here. He went home to sleep, but he came back the Monday, the Tuesday. I think he finally went to work the Wednesday, but he did not leave our side. He was here through everything. He kept me sane. He really did.
Yeah, because you're in shock still at this
Absolutely.
Point.
Absolutely.
So you still have an income.
Yes, my husband and I, neither of our jobs were affected. I work out of town. He works in town at a business that wasn't affected at all, so we're very lucky that way. He was quite busy with the fire department for the first, I would say, week or so. And I work in social services. I actually took 3 weeks off. I just went back to work last week because I finally felt that I could. And Ironically, I also volunteer for victim services, and that was my first call, was this Goderich tornado, but I was the victim, so.
That's interesting you say you work for social services, so you're dealing with people on ODSP or OW?
That's right.
And so how did those people, how were they affected? I understand most of the people that live downtown were on one of those social programs because they had to live in the apartments over the stores.
The square has apartments above all of the stores. The emergency center set up at the Knights of Columbus Hall. Red Cross, Victim Services, Social Services, County Services, that was kind of the hub for everybody to meet there. And in my opinion, I think they did a phenomenal job of organizing and, you know, getting the word out and helping anybody that was willing to go there for help. Cross went door to door in all of the affected areas to canvassing to make sure people knew of their services, to know they were available, to see what they needed.
The other thing that comes to my mind and has been, I've been talking to some people, some were left with actually nothing, just the clothes on their back.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get to the Knights of Columbus because they have no vehicle and things are too far to get to and they have no money to get a taxi cab.
Yeah.
So that was a real problem. I was talking to the St. Vincent de Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently they were going around by bicycle.
Yeah, yeah, they were. The owner of the Goderich Grill actually doesn't live very far from me. And she has quite a story herself, and I know that that was their case. And the families that live on the square, one of the children that was directly affected in that way is in my daughter's class, and they weren't allowed back in their apartment for weeks. I think they went in accompanied at one point. They were allowed one trip in to get whatever they could, and that was it, whatever they could carry in their arms out, basically.
Wow.
And, so they are... We feel blessed for, you know, for what the help that we had, and we were able to get everything out before our house was condemned. I know a coworker of mine, her daughter lived above the square, and she lost everything. And anyone that had a vehicle up on the square lost it at that point. And we do feel blessed because we had a lot of help, and we had a lot of support, and we were able to get all of our stuff.
So as a social worker, do you understand, you would see firsthand this unique position that people with absolutely maybe no family, no friends to turn to are in?
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a long road, and I think the real work emotionally is just starting, because now the shock is wearing off, the reality is setting in, dealing with insurance companies, the shortfalls, the red tape, for sure. A lot of those buildings on the square are heritage buildings, so to rebuild those is going to take a lot more time than the families living in them want. Chances are they're going to need to find alternate accommodations altogether long term, not just for a few months. And yeah, if you don't have a lot of connections and you don't have a lot of support systems, certainly any mental health issues is going to make this a nightmare.
Mm. You don't see it in your work directly?
I've taken a bit of a back seat to the frontline work at the moment because of my own situation. I don't feel my head is clear enough to work with other families directly affected.
Yep.
Certainly I've heard stories. Certainly I know of situations in this town right now, and I'm sure I'm going to hear of more as time goes on, because it takes a while for the shock to wear off and for the reality to hit. We're experiencing that in our own family still, you know, the shock wearing off, and this is our new life now. This is the day-to-day stuff that we have to deal with, and we are well supported, and we have a lot of connections. And it's difficult for us. So
yeah, so you can imagine
people that don't have the connections that we do or the support that we do. I can't imagine.
Yeah, so that's where places like St. Vincent de Paul come
in. Absolutely,
very
St. Vincent de Paul, Salvation Army, Victim Services, different mental health organizations here in the county are all stepping up. Are all aware of the long term needs of this community and are all ready to help, to get help.
What's the name of the woman that had that grill down in the square?
Kelly Buchanan.
I spoke to her.
Yes.
She's a riot.
Yes. There were signs outside of her house almost immediately that she had made up herself, you know, saying that they were okay and that they were still operating out of the golf course and they may be down, but they're not out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the feeling of this whole community. You know, houses that are coming down, you know, the people that own them had spray painted across them saying, you know, thank you for your help. We'll be back. You know, Goderich will rebound, that kind of thing. It's an upbeat, positive mood considering everything that happened here.
Right, and because it's so clearly removed the downtown, it's so psychologically apparent every single day. It's such a change. What I'm trying to do is get cities in there, and we're in Hamilton here,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to get people in different locations to understand the situation and to maybe give some support to those that don't have any support, like
Absolutely.
Gift cards and cash. And yes, there's government funds for the rebuilding, but the
mm-hmm.
people that are down and out on the street, they really need gift cards and cash and places like St. Vincent de Paul.
Well, the thing about the ODRAP fund, the disaster relief fund, is a wonderful thing, but the deadline for donations
mm-hmm.
and applications is October 28th.
Yeah.
That's still, you know, over a month away. And then they have to go through the process of determining who gets what.
But that's for businesses and ownership.
We understand it's for residential as well, but it's for people that don't have adequate insurance.
Yeah.
Insurance isn't covering anything or everything. But as for right now, you know, like the needs of the moment, they can't address that.
Toothbrush, that's what they need. That's the gap and the hole that's missing, and that's what I'm trying to do with these stories is to get people to listen to these talks and to understand what they need firsthand to get up and get running is toothpaste, clothes,
mm-hmm.
You know, things that you
don't
think of.
And I mean, the weather's changing, right? Like,
right?
It's getting cooler now. So, like, everything that you need for fall and school
That's right.
just started for the kids. Christmas is coming. Halloween is coming. All of these things.
So there's a hole in the need, and that's where maybe other townships can help out, and that's what I'm trying to get people to think about.
There was a lot of media coverage, obviously, that week, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people donating to the Disaster Relief Fund. We hear about that every day, which is also wonderful for the people that are going to benefit from that. But for right now, for the day-to-day, you know, and even for that Disaster Relief Fund, some of the people that need it the most aren't going to apply
mm-hmm.
just due to social boundaries that they have. They don't know how to read. You know, they're not going to fill out a form if they don't know how to read it.
Good point.
They're afraid to ask for help.
Good point.
Or they feel that other people deserve it more than they do, or they don't want to be stigmatized by someone knowing that they got help. So, I mean, it's a wonderful program. It's absolutely necessary at this point. And if people apply for it, you know, they're going to benefit from it. But don't think for a second that everyone that needs it is going to apply.
Is going to get it. Well, that's why I'm trying to gather these voices and bring up these points that you just brought to mind that maybe I didn't think of and somebody else didn't think of.
They'll feel stigmatized. I mean, I know that the committee, that certainly is not their intention, and they are absolutely there to help anyone that needs it. What I'm saying is you only know people need help if they ask.
If they ask, yes.
And
so,
there are certain people that are not going to ask.
That's right. And, that's why I think that the gift card idea is probably the best one.
I think so. And St. Vincent's, you know, they have a food bank there. They have furniture. They have clothing. They have everything. And for the people that have been directly affected, have lost their homes, they are there. They notified me and told me they are there indefinitely. Like, there's no deadline as to when this will be over. They're there as long as people need them. For their actual store, you know, where they have the clothing
right.
and the furniture and stuff, there's no charge, ever.
Yeah,
to the
they're
families.
Amazing.
They just need to talk to Pat or to Mary, who are in charge, and anything they need is theirs for no charge.
Standing in line at Fortino's or Shoppers Drug Mart or
mm-hmm.
Giant Tiger, just,
yeah.
you know, they have those gift cards, just maybe a $10 card.
Yeah. Yeah.
Add that to the
And
pot,
a lot of people donate stuff
off.
To the food bank. They go into their cupboards and they donate food that they wouldn't eat. Right.
Yeah, no, that I've had that happen to me, and that doesn't work so well. So.
No, don't eat. If you're going to donate, you know, donate food you would eat.
Well, that's why it's such a, Mary gave me such a specialized list and such a detailed list. I thought, let's go with gift cards because everybody's got their own individual needs and we're not going to match it.
No.
So it's better for them to just say, here's what I need.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can get the gift card and go and get it. And it's not such an embarrassing situation.
And I mean, it shouldn't be, but it is. And for me personally, it's been quite an eye-opener for me because I was the helper. I was always the one hooking families up to these services. Now I'm one using it.
So you can tell, you can
see. I've had to swallow a bit of pride around that just because I've never had to do that before. But it is, like, when you walk in and you have people's eyes on you, watching you as you use the service, it is a little difficult, and that's for me being able to realize everything that's going on in my head. And for some people, you know, they just won't even attempt it because they just don't want to deal with the stigma.
That's why we have Mary's riding around on bikes with a gift card in her back pocket.
Absolutely.
Here, I just happen to have this if you have a need for something. And I think that's really the best way to go. I was really impressed with that. This is not just going to go away. It's going to be lasting a long time. And once the mainstream press is finished with it, we still need people outside of Goderich to think about what's going on in Goderich and what happened in such a fast amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can happen anywhere with today's climate changing. And it could be us. It could be Hamilton. The way that storm came through.
Well, that was the thing with Goderich, right? We always said to each other, you'd see tornadoes on the news and whatever, and, that's not something we have to worry about. We live on a lake. Tornadoes don't come off lakes.
No, you're no different.
That's exactly where it came from.
Yeah.
An F3 tornado came off of our lake.
That's pretty shocking, but climate's changed. Weather patterns have changed, and we really, quite honestly, we don't know what to predict at this point.
We never know, and we never know what the fallout will be from it.
Yeah, so we're experiencing different climatic disasters, so we all need to wake up and realize that your life can be taken away from you just that quickly.
Yeah.
And that, you know, all the things that you went through in the list, and it's nice to hear a social worker talking about the things that maybe the social workers don't get to think about.
And I want to clarify, I'm not a bachelor of social worker.
Right.
I work in social services. You know,
you see the policies, you see how it's set up, you see the people.
Mm-hmm. I think the way that the county did step up, having never had to deal with this before, was phenomenal. I honestly do. I do know the manager of children's services for the county who stepped in and did some immediate relief in those first few days. And when I first saw her and approached her for assistance, she thought I was there to help from my organization. And then when she realized what was going on in my life, she immediately sprung into action. And I really think, you know, them, the EMS personnel, the mayor, the MP, the MPP, I really think that they have done the best they could do for not knowing what they're doing.
That's amazing.
Because nobody knew what they were doing that Sunday afternoon and evening. Nobody saw it coming. We had no warning. It was a Sunday in the summer. It's a quiet beach town. Nobody knew how to handle something like this.
What do you think about Environment Canada saying, well, we only give 15-minute warnings or people won't take it seriously?
Well, I know I have not heard one person in this town that knew of the warning to begin with.
Yeah, you have to be sitting at the Weather Channel.
The Weather Channel, not even your radio station or the TV, because my husband, I mean, it was 30 minutes before, but my husband was on the local radio station's website 30 minutes before and the radar was clear. I was interviewed by a radio or a TV station in the days following, and they asked me if there had been a warning, would anything have been different? I honestly think if there had been a townwide siren go off or something, that half the people in this town would have went outside to see what was going on, just because nothing ever happens here, and you would not think that something like this was about to happen here. I think a lot of people probably initially would have thought someone was overreacting. Now, if it was to happen again, if a townwide siren was to go off now, I think people would take it very seriously.
Yeah.
But at the time, having never dealt with anything like this before, the damage would have still been the same. I don't know that people would have taken it seriously.
Or maybe there might have been less people hurt.
Perhaps.
Or maybe that fellow might have been able to get out of the salt.
Yes, there's been a lot of talk about that as well, and I don't feel qualified to comment on that either because I don't work there and I don't know how that works down at the mine. But I really want to say that I do think everyone that has been in charge here has done the best that they can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure everyone has learned a lot, and I'm sure there will be meetings in the future, you know, to plan for if this was ever to happen again or in another community or something like that. But
yeah.
I think everyone has really stepped up and did the best that they could.
But you still need help.
Absolutely. And like I said before, the shock is wearing off. The reality is setting in. Things are not easy. Things are difficult. This is not, the tornado was not an event. This is a process.
That's right. Thank you.
This is a process, and people have to rebuild their homes, and that doesn't happen the next day. And that's all the physical stuff. The emotional stuff is lifelong.
Yeah.
Like, my daughter is going to be terrified of thunderstorms, I think, for the rest of her life. She is always going to remember her birthday for having this around it. You know, her seventh birthday is going to be one that not many of us ever forget. Yeah, when there's a thunderstorm, she instinctively knows to, you know,
run to the basement. Yeah.
She's a bit affected. She's going to be okay, but certainly she didn't escape from this with no after effects.
Yeah.
And neither did, I don't think, anybody in this.
No, even just because your house is completely gone within minutes.
Yeah.
Your whole lifestyle is flipped totally.
Absolutely. And when you have two young kids, you know, if you're going to move, you prepare your children for that. You talk about moving and you involve them in the packing and all of this. We had none of that. You know, they got out of town. When they came back, we were staying at a friend's house, and then we had to move into a rental house, and we're preparing to build a new house, and we'll have to move back there. And everything was in boxes, and they just wanted their toys. And I had no idea where they were.
Yeah.
It was very, very chaotic for us. I can't imagine what was going through their little minds. Yeah, I would certainly, if I was to give one message, like I said, it's a process, and it's going to be a process for a long time. And just because the roads are open, just because, you know, some of the stores are reopening and the money's coming in, that's all wonderful. But there's day-to-day hardships for a lot of these families, and it doesn't matter, you know, their socioeconomic status, it doesn't matter where they live. Even if your house isn't coming down, your town was affected. Some people have lived here for generations, and their town isn't the same of what they've always known. And that can do a lot on your psyche as well. It takes away your sense of security.
Great.
And for a lot of people, it's going to take a long time.
That's what people want to know. They want to hear what it was like so they can understand, what do people need?
Yeah.
So before you can make people give of themselves, even a $10 gift card from someplace, even to think about doing that, you have to make them make a connection emotionally.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, I gave away 100 flyers. We had so many activities going on the past weekend, and a lot of people said to me, oh, I have friends or I have relatives there in Goderich, and they're probably thinking, well, I'll help out my immediate family. Well, you know, that's good. But there's a lot of people there that don't have family. They don't have the friends to reach out and help them. And those are the ones we're trying to catch.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, thanks very much for this.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.